Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
And all he wants is people that want him. That's it. Everything that Christianity is about wanting to know God in a personal way. Wanting to know him in a manner that is beyond the Bible. And I believe every word of the Bible is true. How about you? Say amen. But he wants to know us. How many of you know this is not everything God knows? Okay? It's not everything God knows. God knows everything. But this is everything that God knows that he wants us to know. Because this is how we get to know him. This is how we begin to have a relationship with him. For all of us, it starts small and it begins to grow. And so your relationship with God has to be personal. It can't be through an organization. If your relationship with the Lord is through your church, you're missing the most important part of your relationship with the Lord. Because you've limited him to what happens in a church building or through a church organization or through its leadership. That he wants, he desires personally to connect with us. He's not, God isn't an organization. And he can't be put into a structure. What are we going to design that's big enough to hold God? What can we do that's really going to impress him and cause God to go, wow, I never thought that. Sometimes I think we think we're so smart, and I think he just winks at us and says, I love you in your ignorance, in your foolishness, in your craziness. I just love you. That's all he does. He just loves us. And frankly, that doesn't make any sense. Because you know who you are. Just like I know who I am. And how God gets through who I am to who he wants me to be. Who he desires me to be. Who he desires for you to be. He sent Jesus into the world as one of us. At some point in time in history, none of us know, but the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were in a conversation. Don't ask me to explain how three become one. All I know is three are one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. The Holy Spirit is one with the Father and with Jesus, and they have a relationship. They never fight and they never argue. That means they've never been married. And Pastor Susan said, amen. But they're in a relationship with one another. And it's mind-boggling to think that in that relationship that they have with one another, love and respect, and that they so love one another that you actually, in human terms, can't tell the difference between the Father and between the Son and between the Holy Spirit. When you get one, you get the other two. You get the Holy Spirit, you get Jesus and the Father. You get the Father and you get Jesus. You can't have the Father or the Holy Spirit without Jesus. Because Jesus is the mediator, the Bible says, the go-between, the conjunction. You know what a conjunction is? A conjunction is when two points converge, two issues converge on the cross. Matter of fact, if you know what a junction is, a junction on a road, a juncture. It's when two points cross, and that point right there where they cross becomes a conjunction. It's amazing that God, the Father, said to Jesus one day, why don't you go down there on earth, and since they got this thing all messed up, since Adam blew it and he made a mistake, I can't wait till I get to eternity because I'm going straight to Adam and asking him, what were you thinking? He said, Adam jacked this whole thing up, but we still love him.
That's
right. So we got to form a plan. How are we going to get it back again? And the Father says to the Son, somehow, don't know how, Son, would you go down there to earth in the middle of all the galaxies, the only planet with life on it. Would you go down there as one of them, and would you live the life they have to live but can't live? They're not capable of living the life they need to live to be able to live with us because they've chosen the evil one who rebelled. And they've chosen to use their own will in opposition to our will. So would you go down there and would you live for Bob? Put your name in there. Would you live for your name? Would you live for him or her and live the life that they can't live? It's impossible. They can't do it. And would you do it for them? And then would you die in their place? And would you be a sacrifice to pay for the mistake and the error that was made? Would you give your life? And I'll tell you what, son, I'll tell you what. After they crucify you and they brutalize you, they whip you in a manner that you should have died from. Before they beat you and crowned you with a crown of thorns and then crucified you. Tell you what, son, I'll raise you back from the dead. The Holy Spirit will breathe life into your dead body and you will make a way for them to come back and have a relationship with us. But here's the deal. They have to live a life on earth, be born, live for an indeterminate amount of time, and eventually die. But at some point in that life, they have to choose you, Jesus. To get to know me, they have to choose you so that he, the Holy Spirit, can empower them so that they can know us. And that they can have a relationship with God. I don't know about you, but that baffles my mind. Because there's no other faith, no other religion, no other philosophy on earth that is so intimate and so personal and so kind and so loving. And yet so powerful that he can come into a life of a drug addict, an alcoholic, someone who lives a perverted lifestyle, someone who's lived a life in the occult and has worshipped darkness and evil, that relationship is so powerful that if they'll just open up for a millisecond, just for a millisecond, and let come in, change your life forever. change your life forever. You say, well, but my life's still hard. No, I said forever. Because your life is way beyond the life you live right now. We have the potential, the capacity. You have a relationship with the living God, and you're going to live with him forever. And that gives you a hope in the middle of life and all the trials and all the tribulations and all the struggles and all the difficulties and all the hardships. Trying to raise children, trying to have a successful career, trying to keep a marriage together, trying to have a healthy mental outlook on life, trying to deal with other people that are mean and ugly and unjust and uncaring. That this God chose to take residence in us. I don't know about you, but that's just absolutely mind-boggling. And yet the reality of it is that last week you heard Bill Weiss mention over and over and over again, belched verses and scriptures all through the Bible, saying that if we are not willing to embrace this scenario I just described, and we're not willing to accept Christ, life, death, burial, and resurrection, we will inevitably live in the only alternate place for eternity. It's not a pleasant subject. But you heard Bill mention that over and over again, and people always say, over the 5 decades I've been walking with Jesus, I've heard people say, how could a just and loving God make a place like that? And you heard Bill quote scripture after scripture after scripture that God didn't create the wrong side of eternity for us. It was created for those who were rebellious, fallen angels. But if we live in this life, here's the gig. If we live in this life and we refuse to accept that scenario, at least investigate it, at least give it an honest attempt, how can we stand before a just God? Because God is just. And he's caring and he's loving, but in all of his justice, he's going to serve truth. And he's going to serve truth through the fact that he gave us an opportunity. And he said, I gave you a choice. I didn't create the wrong place for you. You were not designed to live there. You do not have to live there. The only thing that can send you to the wrong place in eternity is your own stubbornness, your own unwillingness to hear the truth and investigate it with an open and an honest heart. How can you and I, who know that truth and believe that, how can we be silent when we know what Bill said last week is true and we know what the Bible says about eternity for those who believe? How can we be silent? Isaiah the prophet in chapter 6, a prophet of old, a true man of God, in the Old Testament. In chapter 6, it says that one day he was praying and spending time with the Lord, and it says in verse 1, in the year of King Uzziah, when Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Listen to what Isaiah says. He had a vision. He's high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. In ancient days, when a king conquered a king, each king would have a robe. The way you knew a king was a king was they wore a crown and they wore a robe and they had a scepter. And that king owned the people and the land of that kingdom. And it says, Isaiah saw the temple high and lifted up, and him, his, Jesus, train filled the temple. Whenever a king conquered another king, the king that conquered another king would take the hem of the robe of the king and cut it off. You remember David in the cave when he was running from Saul? Remember what David did? Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. Saul did not know Saul was chasing David because he thought David was trying to kill him. And Saul went into the cave to relieve himself, would have taken off his robe and set it down to do his business. And Saul, not knowing David was in the cave, and Saul thinking David wanted to kill him, David cut off the hem of his garment. That's significant because when a king would conquer a king, they'd cut off the hem of his garment and they'd sew it on their own. So if a king conquered 20 kingdoms, he would have a train. So long. Isaiah said, I saw him, Jesus, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It filled the temple because our king conquered every kingdom of the earth. And in doing so, you understand Isaiah didn't even fully understand what he was seeing, other than he understood that of a king. Isaiah goes on to say, above it stood the seraphims, each one with six wings. Twain covered his face, and two covered his feet, and two he did fly. He sees this crazy vision. And we don't have time to deal with that, but he sees this crazy vision. He sees these angels. In verse 5, it says, and then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah says, I'm undone. I said, what am I looking at? God, you're giving me a vision. Isaiah doesn't know who Jesus is. This is 600 years before Jesus. And he sees a king, the King of glory. It goes on to say, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my lips and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sins are purged. Also, I heard a voice saying unto me, now listen carefully, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. We have a message that changes lives. The dwelling place has never changed a single person's life. Neither has a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, a Methodist church, the Calvary Chapel, an independent, I don't care what you name, no organization can change lives. But people have a message. And the message is about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and their love for people. I don't know how long this thing that we're living in now in our nation is going to last. I don't know if Jesus is coming back during this time. I honestly don't know. Oh, Susan just called out 2026, okay. I just lost it when I heard that. But I do know that he's coming. He's coming. And how can we How can we not share the message? How can we not tell those that are our fellow workers? And that's not that you buttonhole people at work and you go into their office or in their cubicle or at their workstation or in this situation and you sit down and you preach self-righteously. The loudest voice we have is that we love people. Listen to what I'm saying. Love people the way they do. Let me say that again. The loudest message we have is that we love others, even when they don't love us, the way they love them. Because God loved me and loved you before you loved him. When you were mocking him and you were using his name in vain and you were cursing him, or maybe you didn't do that, but you were living your own life and you were doing your own thing and you basically told God, roll it, fold it, and wrap it and stick it in your ear because I don't want anything to do with you. And his love prevailed. The greatest thing I can say to you is, as a pastor, is in the coming days, we must learn to love people like we've never loved them before. And we must learn to care for people like we've never cared for them before. We have got to come to a place where we understand what is really at stake. Now, forgive me for saying this so many times because I've said it, but would you turn your phone off, whoever that is? It's a fire alarm? There's only one fire I'm concerned about, and I'm not going there, okay? What was I saying? Hey, Frank, go find that noise, would you? I was going to say that noise is driving me nuts, but that's not a drive, that's a putt, okay? But how can we be silent? How much can we hate someone to not show them the truth? And it's not always with your mouth. It's how you respect other people. It's how you treat other people that you, and believe me, I've got people that are burr under my saddle. You have any of those folks? But whenever we exercise our faith, and we remember this analogy, may you never forget it. The Father sent the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to come and chase you and me down. May God give us the strength to be the greatest evangelists that we've ever been in our lives. There's just so much at stake. I'm not going to go much longer, but I want you to understand that years ago, I was so fed up with people. And I was pastoring this church and we were over there in that building. And I was just done. I was tired of people. I was tired of people griping and complaining about the most ridiculous things. And rumors started in the community about I was trying to control people, and you couldn't, if you went to this church and you were part of this church, you couldn't go on a vacation without permission. You couldn't buy a home. Right? Am I telling the truth? Pardon? It was rumors. It was discipleship. They were saying, oh, yeah, you're discipleship. You control the people. I was so fed up with the rumors. Because how many of you know you can't control rumors? The more you try to control wrong things about you, the worse it gets. Okay. So I figured I'd just tell God what I thought about it. And somewhere 5 o'clock in the morning in my office over there in the old building, I used to wear my keys on a clip, you know, to church and home keys, car truck keys. took my keys off, took my truck key, took my house key, and I took the rest of the church keys, and I threw them down on my desk. And I said, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm tired of my kids coming home saying, Dad, why are they talking about us? Why? What are all the rumors? Who's making up these rumors? I said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. You can have this. Threw my keys down on the desk, and I started around the edge of my desk. I am not exaggerating. I'm telling you the gospel, not gospel, but I'm telling you the truth. I got to the corner of my desk, and I heard a voice, not audible. I heard a voice say, assume the position. Now, those of you, most of you know what that means. That means you're about to get your butt kicked. Okay? And I thought for a minute, I thought, man. I thought, wow, that sounds like God. So I went down on one knee. And I heard him say, I said, assume the position. And I knew what that meant. Okay? And I went face down. I went face down on the floor. And the only thing I could think of was, oh, crud, what did I just do? And I heard him say, you gave it to me, and I'm not giving it back. And that scared me. I'm sorry to be so personal, but this is just, that scared me. And then I felt between my shoulder blades a foot. All I can do is tell you that I honestly believe, I know who it was. I felt a foot between my shoulder blades on my back. He says, I've taken it, and I'm not giving it back. Now you have a choice. It's been your ministry. How about we do mine? And you know what? I got up off the floor thinking I just dodged a bullet, okay? Because the bottom line is I realized that everything that I had done to that point was about me. And believe me, I'm still concerned about me. But I can tell you this, that if you say yes to God, he'll touch your life in a way that you can never explain to people and you can never describe. He will. And it took a while, let's say, for my opinion of all the people that had hurt me to begin to change. But I said, okay, I'm committed. If this is what you want me to do, you want me to treat the people that have mistreated me, mistreated. And I could feel him say, oh, they've mistreated you? Like, oh, I'm so busted here, okay? I am so busted here. And I said, all right, I'll do my best. I can't do it without you. I still don't do what I know I could do. But I can tell you this. As a body of people, if we can come to this place where we can say, Lord, help me love those who don't love me. Teach me to, and you know what? I said, okay, God, you want to do this? And I'm almost finished. The Lord, you want to do this? You're just going to have to help me. And I can tell you, it like every time I turned around and I walked into a store, there was one of them. And I knew it was a test. I want to say to you here today, and I'm sorry to be so personal, and so I got to do what I know God has said to do. I want to ask you, if you'd be willing to come with us as a church and say, God, Father, would you teach us to love people because we know where they're going if they don't find out about your love? Would you teach us to love people in a way that they deserve to be loved, even though they don't deserve to be loved, but they deserve to be loved because you loved them in that way. And if you love them in that way, empower us in the Holy Ghost, fill me with the Holy Ghost, and give me a supernatural strength to love on people and not get upset just because I'm hurt, just because I'm offended. Would you empower me to share the message of the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ in a way that will change people's lives, because I understand and I believe there is a heaven and there is a hell and there is no middle round in that, those terms. People are gone one way or the other. So, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Here we are in this community. You know that, I hate the Facebook posts that do it, but last week there was another Facebook post. Yep. One of the 10 worst cities in America. Yep. We made the list. You know what? That's because they don't understand our God and his love for people. And this is our community. And you know what? I don't like the bad things that are going on. But God didn't send us to the pretty people because the pretty people don't want him. It's to the people that are hurting, and the people that are hurting, that's why we're here. We love our city. We're going to win our city. This city belongs to Jesus, and so do the people. We are not going to be silent. We are not going to be quiet. We are going to do what God's called us to do. I'm done. Let's pray. Come, Father, in Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and empower us to do what we cannot do, but you told us to do. We appeal to your grace and to your mercy. And the only way that we will ever truly love others the way they need to be loved is when we come to realize how much and how dear you love us. And so we thank you for forgiving us of our sins, of our mistakes and of our errors. Empower us to show your love to our community. And we thank you that you are doing this not only to us, but through us, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, remember this, when you go out the doors, and you go out these doors, the side doors, and when you go out the gate, there are two signs for you. You don't forget this. Over that door right there is you are entering into the mission field. When you go out the gate, there's a sign at the gate. You are entering the mission field. When you leave here and you go to lunch, love somebody that nobody else is loving. God loves you. God bless you.
To stay ahead, but you keep falling behind. Life is gonna pull you down, make it hard to see.